under your chairs, but Galatians 6 is where we're going to be this morning. And man, I tell you, it is so exciting just to know Jesus Christ as our Savior. If you don't today, I'm going to tell you something. The best decision I ever made in my life is when I gave my life to Jesus Christ. And if you've never given your life to Him, you really should do that. You should surrender to Him today. In verse number 14, Galatians 6:14 is one of those classic verses they write songs about. I mean, it's just a great verse. And I want you to look at it with me, verse 14. He says, God forbid that I should glory. That God forbid is pretty strong, all right? Because when he says God forbid, it's like, man, I am determined. I am adamant about this, completely adamant. God forbid, he said, that I should glory, boast. He said, save except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me and I unto the world. Let's look at that again. He says, God forbid that I should glory except save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. Y'all got it? Say amen, huh? You got that? Man, that's important right there. He said, I'm not going to boast or glory in anything other than Jesus. Now, you got to understand the background here to this. He's writing this letter of Galatians to these people. He knew them well. He had started these churches. He led many of these people to Christ. And you know what happened? They got saved and they were happy. They were rejoicing in their walk with Jesus Christ. They were so happy in their walk with Jesus. And along comes these people from Jerusalem. And these people were called Judaizers. And these guys come from Jerusalem. And I don't know, man, I just picture them in robes and long faces, you know. And they come along and they're like, you know, why are you so happy? And they're like, man, we know Jesus. We put our faith in Jesus and we're saved now. And man, we've been forgiven of our sins and we're just enjoying our walk with Jesus Christ. Oh, no, you're not. No. And I mean, they proceed to just throw cold water all over these people. I mean, they tell them, you're not really saved. You've got to be like us. You got to keep these certain laws. You got to keep these certain rituals. And, you know, Jesus is good. All right, that's good. We believe in Jesus. But you know what? You got to do all these things or you're not saved. And so Paul's writing this letter to these people to try to straighten things out in their mind and in their thinking. And he writes this letter, and I mean, boom, he comes out of the chute with Galatians chapter 1, where he says, if anybody preaches any other gospel unto you than what we gave you when we were there, let them be accursed. And he ends the letter here by saying, you know what? I'm here to tell you, I'm not going to glory or boast in anything other than my Savior, His cross. I am going to boast in that and that alone. Everything that we have that is good is owed to the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. And His suffering on that cross, when Jesus Christ suffered, He absorbed all of the judgment that you and I as guilty sinners deserved. And when He was on that cross, He purchased all the good that we enjoy. He absorbed all the judgment, and then He purchased all the good that you and I enjoy in Christ. And as believers in Christ, I believe that, and you know what? I've been preaching here as the pastor of this church for 23 years. And I'm here to tell you guys that I don't feel any different now than the first day I ever preached here. And I feel exactly the same way. And that's this. I believe that as a church, that we need to be Christ-centered, cross-cherishing believers of the Lord Jesus Christ. We need to cherish, like that old hymn says, I will cherish the old rugged cross. We need to be cross-cherishing believers. Why? Because Paul says here in this letter to the Galatians, it is through the cross alone that God has brought forgiveness of our sins. How many of you in here have ever sinned and done something wrong? All right. Go to chapter 1. Let me show you what God did about that. All right, go to chapter 1, and let's see what God did about that. Chapter 1, and let's flip over there. Y'all there? Look at this. So chapter 1, verse 4. He said, who? Christ. Christ, the who is Christ. Christ gave himself for our sins. Say that with me. Christ gave himself for our sins. It was on the cross that Jesus Christ bore our sins. In other words, Jesus Christ bore not only our sins, he took the penalty that goes along with the sins. Can anybody tell me what the penalty for sin is? Now, listen, just a minute ago, all of us who were honest said we'd sinned. Some of you lied and you sinned and you didn't raise your hand, but that's all right. We're gonna forget that a minute. But honestly, think about this. When he died upon the cross, he not only took our sins, he took the penalty of our sins, because the wages of sin is what? Death. So when he was on the cross, he was saying, I'm going to take the punishment that Dan Proctor deserves for his sins. I am going to take the punishment that Joni Van Lanker deserves for her sins. I'm going to take the punishment that they deserve for their sin. I am going to take it. Look at this verse, Romans 5, 8, 9. Let's bring it up. It says, God commended his love toward us in that while we were yet what? While we were what? Sinners. What did Christ do? Died for us. Right. Much more than being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath. How? Through him. Look at the next verse. Let's bring it up. 1 Peter 3:18. For Christ also has once suffered. There it is again. Why did he suffer? For what? For sins. And he was the just, dying for the unjust. Right. Why did he do it? That he might what? Bring us to God. Being put to death in the flesh, but quickened, made alive by the Spirit. If you are forgiven today of all your sins, there's only one thing you can boast in, and that's the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's it, Maddie. There ain't nowhere else to boast. There is nowhere else to boast. Only the cross could make it possible for you to be forgiven of all your sins. Do you realize? We live in it every day, and we live in a sin-cursed world, and we sin every day. I don't think we realize the enormity of this. If you're 50, I'm 50, all right? I'm just going to tell you that. I'm 50. I'm 51. All right, I'm 51. Denise said I'm 51. All right, so I'm 51. And if you're 50, you got to adjust this up or down based on your age, all right? But if you're like me, and we'll just take kind of a round figure here, 50. All right, if you're 50... and you committed just one sin a day. Now think about what a sin is. A sin is any evil thought, any evil deed, any evil word you shouldn't have said. And sin is also, the Bible says, things that you should have done that you didn't do. That's a sin. And if you just sinned once a day, just one time, and you're 50, that's 18,000 sins. Kind of discouraging, huh? 18,000 sins. Well, if you did two a day, guess how many that is? That's 36,000, right? Right, those of you are like, 18 times, two a day, 36,000 sins. Just two sins a day is 36,000 sins if you're 50 like me. Look at this verse on the screen, Colossians 1. And having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself, by him I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven, and you that were sometimes alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, you were enemies of God, yet now hath he reconciled in the body of his flesh through death to present you holy, unblameable, and unreprovable in his sight. You are not reconciled to God and forgiven because you joined the church. We had 56 people in our membership meetings last week. 56 people, just the adults. That's not counting kids and everybody else. Just the adults. We had 56 people that were interested in membership at our church. And I made sure I told them this too, that joining a church does not make you a Christian. It does not give you entrance into heaven. All right? Listen. If you get to heaven and God says, why should I let you in? And you say, I was a member of Crossroads. I'm going to tell God, I don't know who they are. I'm going to disown you. I'm going to act like I don't know you, all right? All right, don't you dare do that. All right? Listen, nobody gets to heaven because they joined the church. Nobody gets to heaven because they were baptized or did religious rituals or kept the Ten Commandments or kept the Golden Rule. Or you know, better than your neighbor, or I'm better than Pastor Dan. You may be better than me, but none of that's going to get you to heaven. God forbid that I should glory except in the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why we're forgiven of our sins. Amen? Look at verse 4 again. Look at that verse again. There's more good stuff there. It says he gave himself for our sins. So, okay, he died for our sins to take care of that sin problem. But then he says, also he died, he gave himself, that he might deliver us from this present evil world. Have y'all noticed that the world's evil? Yeah. We've really got a stark reminder of that, huh, this week? This is an evil world. And I just want to make one thing clear, that this is Satan's kingdom of darkness that we're dwelling in right now. Temporarily, right now, Satan has instituted a kingdom on this earth whereby he's called the prince of this world, Jesus said. And he has instituted and put in place a very evil world system across the globe, all right? And whenever you see the Bible talk about the world, not all the times, but you got to look at the context. But many times when the Bible talks about the world like it does here, it's speaking of that satanic system. And the Bible, Satan has his family, right? The Bible, remember Jesus said, you're of your father, the devil? And that satanic world system is eventually going to come to an end. Amen? Woo! Amen. It's eventually going to come to an end. One day, that right now God's giving grace to people to be saved. One day that grace period will end, and God is going to bring judgment upon that satanic world system that's in place right now on planet Earth. What's going to happen to it? The Bible says it's going to pass away. It's going to be destroyed. Look with me at the verse on the screen, 1 John 2:17. It says, the world passes away and the lust thereof, but he that does the will of God, notice, abides what? Forever. So that means if I'm part of that world system, it's passing away. Okay? But he that does the will of God abides forever. I want you to look with me at the next verse on the screen. What's going to happen to Satan's world system? Here it is. It says in Revelation, death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the what? Second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. So what he's saying is Satan, which by the way, right before this, Satan, the false prophet, the Antichrist, they are all thrown there. And what the Bible's saying, Satan, his entire system, all those involved in that are going to end up in the same place. And that is exactly where we would be for all eternity were it not for the cross of Jesus Christ. Praise God, the cross has delivered us from this present evil world. Amen, church? It's delivered us. It's delivered us from this present evil world. He told these believers that. Now, here's how it happened. There's only one way out of Satan's kingdom, and that's through death. You say, wait a minute, I'm not dead, I'm alive. Well, if you're saved today, you have spiritually died. What do you mean? You died with Christ. You were in him when he died. You say, what do you mean? Go to Galatians 6 again. Let me show you. Go back over there. Chapter 6 and look at this. Verse number 14. Let's look at that verse again. All right? He says, God forbid, 6:14, God forbid that I should glory save except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now look at this. By whom the world, Satan's world system, is crucified unto me and I unto the world. Go to chapter 2. Flip back there. Chapter number 2. Look at verse number 20. Chapter 2, verse 20. All right, look at that verse. I am what? Crucified with who? With Christ. But then he turns around. So notice, he says, I'm crucified. Well, let me ask you something. What did Christ do on the cross? He what? He died. I'm crucified with him if I'm saved. But then it says, look at that. Nevertheless, I what? Live. Wait a minute. How can I be dead and living? Right? How can I be dead and living? Well, look at the verse. He says, yet not I, but Christ lives where? In me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I'm alive, right? I'm alive in the flesh. I live by the faith of the Son of God. Now look at this, who loved me. And that's exactly what we read in chapter 1, verse 4. He what? Gave himself for me. Are you glad for that, church? Amen. You see, we are absolutely, totally dead to Satan's world system when we get saved. There is no way we can ever go back. We died. We died in Christ. All of our sins are dead and buried. The old Dan Proctor is dead and buried. But here's the good news. We have been resurrected. See, we've been resurrected. We've been brought back to life. He said, I live. But listen, it's important to understand that you've been resurrected. You've been brought back to life, but not to be in Satan's world system anymore. No, he raised you up into a new kingdom, and that's the heavenly kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. You've been resurrected to be in his kingdom. Look at the verse on the screen, Colossians 1:13. Look at that. The Bible says that Christ has delivered us. Notice, God's delivered us from what? Come on, talk to me. What's he delivered us from? Doesn't that sound like what we read in Galatians 1:4? Right? He delivered us from this present evil world. Well, it says he delivered us from the power of darkness, and he's translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. We have been resurrected. We have been born into a new family, the family of God. Go to chapter 4 real quick. Look at that. Chapter 4 and verse number 4. It says, but when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law. So here comes Jesus. Verse 5, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. And because you're sons, God sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Wherefore, you're no more a servant, but a son. And if you're a son, then you are an heir of God through Christ. So wait a minute. That means I'm a new creature. And that's exactly what Galatians 6:15 says, that we are new creatures. I've got a new father. I've got a new family. I've got a new purpose. I've got a new life. Man, praise the Lord. It's all because of what Jesus Christ did on the cross. He not only bore my sins on the cross, he bore us. So no wonder Paul exclaimed, God forbid that I should glory except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. You see, it's through the cross we're forgiven of our sins. It's through the cross we've been delivered from Satan's family. And then one final thing, it's through the cross that the cross is what's made us righteous before God. You see, these Jewish legalists were coming from Jerusalem, and they were trying to convince these believers, you've got to keep certain elements of the law in order to be justified in God's sight. Well, what does it mean to be justified in God's sight? What does that mean if I'm justified before God? Well, I think the word itself kind of gives it away, doesn't it? Justified means that I have been made right. I've been made just before God, that I have been made righteous before God. I have been given a just and righteous standing before a holy God. I mean, you think about that. Wow. I mean, it's kind of like this, all right? The idea of clearing away your guilt. If say, for example, Denise made a peanut butter pie. I love peanut butter pie. Anybody in here like peanut butter pie? And I love peanut butter pie, and I just love it. And she makes the best. And Denise makes peanut butter pie, and there's one piece left. And I notice that in the morning before I leave. And all day long at work, I'm thinking about that peanut butter pie. I cannot wait to get home, open up that fridge, and get me some peanut butter pie. And when I get home, I open up the fridge, and lo and behold, there is no peanut butter pie. And I right away accuse the person that I'm almost sure is guilty. And that's a person that almost loves peanut butter pie as much as I do. And I say, where's Caleb Proctor? Caleb Proctor has eaten my peanut butter pie. I just know he has. He is guilty. I cannot believe he would do that. I wanted that peanut butter pie. And I, all of a sudden, Denise says to me, honey, Caleb's been at work all day and he's still not home yet. He couldn't have eaten your pie. All of a sudden now, Caleb is justified. Right? He is cleared of any guilt, and he is declared to be righteous in the case of the peanut butter pie. All right? Well, in the same, and by the way, then I go to Clayton Proctor, right, and look for him. But yeah, that's what it means to be justified. It means that you now have a righteous standing before God. You've been cleared of all guilt. He no longer sees your sins, but he sees the righteousness of his Son that's been put on your account. Now, how do we get that kind of a righteous standing before a holy God? Well, Paul makes it very clear, and that's why he wrote the book here, is to clarify it even further. There is only one thing that counts. There's only one thing that matters. There's only one way to get a righteous standing before God, and that's the finished work of Jesus Christ on the cross for our sins. Our faith in that cross work is what brings righteousness before God. Go to Galatians chapter 2, and let me show you, verse 16. Galatians 2:16. It says, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law. That's pretty clear, isn't it? You're not justified by your works, but by the faith of Jesus Christ. Even, and notice it says, even we have believed in Jesus Christ that we might be justified by the faith of Christ and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law shall no flesh be what, church? Justified. Go to chapter 3, verse 11. It says there, but that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God, it is evident, for the just shall live by what? Faith. Go to verse 14. He says that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit. How do I get the Spirit? Through faith. Y'all seeing it? Look at verse 22. Verse 22. It says, but the Scripture has concluded all under sin. We're all sinners. The Scripture has concluded all of us under sin, that the promise by faith of Jesus Christ might be given to them that what? Believe. Believe. Look at verse 26. It says, for you are all the children of God. And he's writing to these believers, how did they get to be children of God? By keeping the law, by their good works. You are all the children of God by what? Faith in who, church? Faith in Christ Jesus. These Jewish legalists were coming. They were telling these people, no. Yeah, Jesus is good and everything, but you got to do this and you got to do that and you got to keep this law and you got to perform this religious ritual. And they were neutralizing the work of Christ so as to make the cross obscure and to make the cross of no effect. He said, if righteousness comes by the law, then Christ is dead in vain. Paul makes it very clear in this letter that it is not your law keeping. It is not your good works. It is not your religious rituals that are going to save you. It is by one thing that we are saved, and that is our faith in Jesus Christ and what he did for us. What does all this mean in a practical sense? Well, let's bring it up on the screen here, Romans 3. He said, to declare, I say at this time, his righteousness. To declare his righteousness. That he might be just and the justifier of him which, say the next three words, believes in Jesus. Where is boasting then? I love that. It's excluded. By what law? Of works? No. He said it all happens by the law of what? I love it when he says, where is boasting? It reminds me of Ephesians 2, 8, 9. For by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourselves, it's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should, what? Boast. Right, there will not be anybody boasting in heaven. There won't be anybody up in heaven saying, hey, how'd you get here? And then you go, well, let me tell you how I got here. You see, I got here because my righteousness exceeded Pastor Dan's righteousness. That's how I got here. Is there going to be any boasting in heaven, yes or no? No. No. When you, listen to me, and I'm going to end with this, and then we're going to do the Lord's Supper, and I'm going to explain that. But when you believe, listen. When you believe that his work is the work that can reconcile you to God, when you put your faith in him, you are immediately cleared of all guilt. And Christ's righteousness is credited to your account, and you are now justified. How are you justified? By faith in Christ Jesus. If you are saved today from your sins, your motto for life ought to be, God forbid that I should glory except in the cross of my Lord Jesus Christ. That ought to be your motto. Man, I got nothing to glory in other than that. The cross alone is what we glory and boast in, and that's the only thing worth boasting in. It's no wonder Paul said this. Can we bring it up? Bring up the next verse. Is it any wonder Paul said this? For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are what? Saved. It is the, say it with me, power of God. Would y'all agree the cross is the power of God? Amen? And then it says, for after that in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that what? Believe. You know what my call is to you today? My call is this, very simple. Before we partake of this, I want to challenge you. If you've never believed on Jesus Christ, if you've never trusted him as your Savior, and a couple weeks ago, remember, I said that the Bible kind of uses three different terms for that idea of trusting Christ. It uses the term trust in Christ. It uses the term believe on Christ. And then it uses that idea of receiving him. Trusting, receiving, believing. If you've never done that, I want you to know there's no other way. You cannot be justified before God any other way. And so if you would like to trust Christ as your Savior, I can help you with that, but it's got to be from your heart. You have to want that. So let's bow our heads and close our eyes right now. And